At first, I was happy to listen and support her, but over time, her constant negativity began to wear on me.
I think that's a bit of an extreme as a first precaution. What is setting you off like this? What's happening with you that you've suddenly become so negative?
This happens all the time. People will not change their behaviour if they think everything's cool.
But not every day is an SOS.
Not every day SOS.
Why is my friend behaving like this? Why is she dumping on me? Why is all of these things happening?
I'll be really transparent, yeah. I have been the offloading friend. Hello and welcome to the Unfriended podcast, where we have candid conversations about friendship breakups within female friendships. I'm your host, Miss Daisy, and on each episode of this podcast, I sit down with a variety of guests as they share their stories and experiences of friendship breakups. And today we have another dilemma episode, and I'm joined again by Samba.
Hi everyone.
Welcome back, Samba.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, have you been?
Baby's getting bigger.
Okay.
Belly's getting rounder. but we're good. Just busy with work, life,
yeah.
Having a toddler.
Okay.
But I can't complain. It's been good. It's good to be here again.
Yeah, thanks for coming again. Do you know what? Samba is just, I love Samba so much. Like, even the fact that during my wedding, she was a bridesmaid and she was pregnant as well. And she just didn't complain or anything like that. And even now, like with everything that's going on, I'm really thankful that you've, taken some time out to come on here and have a chat with me
on
the pod. So I really, really appreciate that. So let's get into our dilemma. So this is a very interesting one. So the dilemma starts with, hi, I was wondering if you could help. I've always wanted to become a therapist and it's been my dream. Ooh. I'm currently studying psychology and I'm working really hard to prepare for the future that I've always wanted. But now I find myself facing a dilemma that's making me question not just a friendship, but also whether I'm truly suited for this career path. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So one of my close friends has started leaning on me heavily, sharing her daily frustrations and complaints. Okay, we all know where this is going.
Yes.
Okay. But let's keep reading.
Yeah.
At first, I was happy to listen and support her. But over time, her constant negativity began to wear on me. I tried to talk to her about how I was feeling overwhelmed and she sincerely apologized. That's pretty good. That's good. But even after that, I noticed I was still struggling. Whenever she starts talking about her problems, I find myself thinking, I don't want to listen to this. That's not like me and it's been affecting my own mental health. I've lost sleep over this and I've even had panic attacks.
Wow, panic attacks.
That's mad.
Okay, over your friend sharing and needing,
I'm guessing like, so. Space? Maybe it's getting too much. Like subconsciously, it's getting too much.
Okay.
Yeah. Then she says, now I'm torn. I care about her, but her negativity is draining me. This situation has also made me question whether I'm really cut out to be a therapist. If I'm struggling this much with one friend, how will I handle a career where people bring their deepest issues to me every single day? Should I distance myself from her to protect my own well-being and own mental health, even if it hurts her? Or should I try harder to be there for her, knowing that's what a good friend does? And a future therapist, what should I do? I'm confused and don't know what the right way is.
Well, first off, distancing yourself from your friend who is obviously in need is a jumping into the deep end a little bit, I think. I think that's a bit of an extreme as a first precaution.
No, but think about it. It doesn't sound like the friend's in need. It just sounds like the friend's constantly complaining because she said it started off with little small things here and there. It just seems like it's little things, like little insignificant things. She hasn't mentioned like my friend's going through it. She's going through this. It's just like she's just negative and complaining.
You know, sometimes when we're negative, like, you know, for example, when you have a bit of an argument with your parents, for example, and it's something so ridiculous, but it's been building up because something else,
true,
something bigger is laying under the surface and it hasn't been dug up yet. So you're only sort of barely scratching the surface with this little complaints.
Mm.
So I don't know. I think with her questioning, first of all, let's, you know, tick off the career bit because that's probably the easiest part of this dilemma, right?
Yeah.
Because career and everything, we can resolve that. but deeper, meaningful relationships is something True. That you probably need a little bit more time to explore. So with career, what I would say, in my opinion, is that even though you feel like, oh my gosh, I can't deal with my friend's issues and all her minor complaints, how would I deal with patients as a psychologist or as a therapist? Mm. Well, that's very different. One, because when you schedule in a meeting with a client or a patient, it's scheduled, it's structured, you give constructive treatment for the person seeking therapy, and there is no emotional attachment. You are doing your job. You're in a position of, this is a doctor-patient relationship, essentially, or, you know, a therapist-patient relationship. So you, all the emotions, all the history, all the deep-rooted connections is completely removed.
Yeah, and you're not maintaining, I'm guessing in the ideal world, you're not maintaining an actual relationship outside of that therapeutic relationship. So it's slightly different.
Yeah, it's literally like, during this time slot, I open my patient file, I look at the issues they've been trying to communicate with, and I constructively process the information and then apply the knowledge that I have as a therapist to help them through it. And that's it. It's very constructive. It's got lots of boundaries. Mm. It's got lots of like hard lines between, you know, interpersonal relationship and strictly a professional service relationship. So in that context, I don't think you would feel overwhelmed in your role as a therapist, because essentially it's completely different. There's no emotional attachment. There's no ties beyond the working hours, unless you're an out of hour, you know, emergency mental health specialist. There's none of that. And in addition, you have support from colleagues, you have a work environment where, you know, you have meetings with other people in the industry to say, this is what I'm dealing with, I need help with this, this and that. So it's completely different context. So from a career perspective, I would keep persevering, because if it's something that you've always wanted to do and felt very strongly about it and have been doing well in that, then I wouldn't let this one situation with one friend, you've not mentioned multiple scenarios, it's one particular person who is clearly very close to you to be able to come to you that frequently, I wouldn't let that hinder your career and where you want to go with it. I wouldn't let it stop you from progressing, essentially.
Yeah, and just to add to that as well, I think what would be a good idea is to maybe talk to, like, maybe a tutor or just somebody in your course, like, that's your lecturer. Yeah, because they deal with these things. So you can just say, look, this is what's happening with my friend. I'm really doubting, you know, this career path. And they might be able to say to you, look, this happens all the time. This is normal. Like, people start to be therapists and they feel like their friends and families have a lot of problems and they feel like they're not cut out. So they'll be able to normalize how you feel and let you know you're not feeling alone. Also, I know that a lot of therapists have like therapists or supervisors, someone that they talk to. So I think definitely on this journey, like, don't go through this alone, especially if you're having panic attacks.
Yeah,
like, definitely speak to a therapist who will be able to see things from the point of view, just being a human and a person. Also, through your profession, they'll be able to tell you, okay, like, these are some of the tools and techniques. Because I remember I spoke to a therapist friend, no, not like a therapist friend in that way, but like they're a therapist who happens to be my friend, and I asked them about the whole, you know, how do you, you know, you hear all these things day in, day out, like, how do you feel about that,
how do you decompress?
And they said, you know, it's a technique you learn over time. But she was like, literally, she can finish with a client who's just telling some deep stuff, and then within a second, she's
switched off. Wow, that is a talent.
Yeah, and I think definitely, because you sound very like a really empathetic person, like, you want to help people, and it's no surprise you want to get into therapy to help people. Yeah, so it sounds like an empathetic person generally, but I think there will be tools and techniques that you will learn as your career progresses to be able to draw that line. And secondly, as Samba mentioned about the whole professional relationship, this is your friend. There's emotional investment. So you're not dealing with them like a client. You have a relationship with them outside of that. And also, the fact that you're friends, it's a two-way thing. So maybe there's an expectation that she'll understand the impact her behavior is having on you. Does that make 100%. Sense? Whereas when you're a therapist, it's one-way relationship. You're literally there to support them.
Yeah. No, I agree. And like, definitely, I love the idea of speaking to people in the industry to validate your feelings, to normalize it and say, okay, well, if this is something that happens to other therapists, how do you process it? So you can literally say, okay, this is how I separate my emotion to the job and doing the job and delivering. Because I suppose, like, as well as therapists, like doctors need to do that, like social service workers, very heavy things that you deal with. There's so many outlets that you could probably reach out to and take from a little bit. I love that idea, Daisy. But yeah, as you say, she is emotionally invested in this particular case. One thing you shouldn't do as well, you shouldn't diagnose your friends and family. If you're not on the job, separate your job from what your day-to-day is. Come to her as a friend, not as her therapist, right? Because now you've got a lot of confused emotions. You're thinking about it as a friend. You're thinking about your career, if it's the right thing, because you don't know what to tell her. You're thinking about it from, you know, a prognosis perspective, as that is your special, that your areas of expertise. Like, why is my friend behaving like this? Why is she dumping on me? Why is all of these things happening? So you need to separate your professional career from being there for her as a friend until she needs your speciality to support her. So separate the two. And also remember, like I initially said when you was reading out the dilemma, that she's jumping into the deep end. I know the podcast is called Unfriended, but you shouldn't be so easily, like it shouldn't be so quick. I guess the question is, should I unfriend or shouldn't I? I think that is definitely jumping into the deep end. Maybe she's continuously nagging and being negative because that's how her emotions are. She's going through something negative in her life. So everything, you know, when you're like the straw that broke the camel's back, it's she's maybe at that straw. She's maybe on the last straw.
The littlest thing
is gonna set her off. Definitely. So understand as a friend, like, what is setting you off like this? What's happening with you that you've suddenly become so negative?
But then, Sam, but let's be real, like, it's draining. And I think
Is it draining because you've not addressed it? Or is it...
No, but she said that she spoke to her, she's apologized. And then even after that, she's continuing. It sounds like the friend just can't help herself. She's stuck in this negative cycle. And I feel like even outside of... Okay, put aside the fact that she's studying to be a therapist. If you put that completely aside, it's still a very draining situation to be in, where someone's constantly negative to the point that every new problem they have, you literally feel like... Imagine, Sam, and me and you are friends, yeah? Imagine getting to a point with me where you're like, I don't want to listen to you anymore. Like, it's hard.
Yeah, it is hard. Yeah, when you put it like that, I could, like, Daisy's calling me ring ring, like, Samba, oh, I you know, I broke a nail today.
Don't even say hi or how are you. Just straight in there.
And every time you speak to them and it's like, hi, how are you doing? I've also had a hard day. Would you care to know? Like, it is draining. And I think that's what's causing her to have panic attacks, because she's probably extremely emotionally drained because it's someone so close to her. And also, I'm a firm believer in that transference of energy. So that negative, that constant negative stream of energy, that constant negativity, those bad thoughts, they start seeping into you because it's coming from someone close to you. So I think we're not unfriending, in my opinion, but we're taking a step back to regroup, to shed some of that negativity. And then also maybe approach your friend and say, look, I love you and I want to be there for you, but I feel like you don't know how it is you want people to be there for you, because everything feels negative. We've had a conversation and it's kind of continued. How is it that I can help you? But at the same time, I'm also struggling. Don't say that she's the cause of the struggle, because that might be a little bit too honest, a little bit too brutal. And if she's really going through something, that might make her spiral more. Yeah. But just say, I'm also dealing with a lot emotionally and mentally. I'm struggling with how hard my job's going to be, how hard my course is going to be. And then sort of slide in there that because my job and my course is going to be hard, I'd love to separate my professional career from my private life. That might also, the penny might drop, because your friend might also be somewhat taking advantage of the fact that they've got a free therapist. And there's all these memes that go around, right, that says like, oh, my friend is my unpaid like therapist. But if that's your actual friend's job, you can imagine how heavy that is on them. It's a lot for one person to ingest. Definitely. So I would, in that way, you know, approach her and say, look, I don't know what you're going through, but let me know how you'd like me to be there for you. Also, I'm dealing with a lot personally as well. Like, I don't want to make this about me, but I need like some breathing space. So let me know how I can be there for you. But at the same time, like, I have to factor in that I'm dealing with a lot as well. And with my work, with personal life, I'm trying to keep my professional career and my private life separate as two separate entities so that I can deal with some of these like at piecemeal, like a little bit at a time, deal with work, deal with personal issues, personal life, interpersonal relationships. And without telling her, you're indirectly sort of giving her a nudge that I need time. This is a lot for me. I'm dealing with a lot myself. And also, I don't want the fact that I'm a therapist to mean that everyone's just going to emotionally dump on me. Definitely. Because I'm a person as well. So I think that's a good way to maneuver it, to deal with it without making her spiral more. If she's already feeling negative, you don't want to tell her you're the problem. And then if it continues, then you might need to tell her you're the problem. But let's start off softly because you know, I feel like, again, sometimes everyone with this brutal honesty thing, with, I feel like sometimes people are so brutal. It's like, oh, I'm just being honest. I hate that, because it's not what you say, it's how you say it and how you approach it.
Especially if you want, depending on the outcome that you want, like if you want a receptive, responsive outcome, you got to come a bit softly. And it's hard because you're like, oh, I'm having to do all this emotional labor. I'm having to be the one tiptoeing. But again, it depends on what outcome you want. And I don't know if this is too far, but if this is an ongoing issue, as somebody who's studying to be a therapist, you can actually say to her, look, have you considered speaking to a therapist about this, having therapy or speaking to somebody? Because for some people
especially a neutral party, that's a good idea. Someone that doesn't know you, who's not going to be biased and tell you what you want to hear, but like speak to an actual professional.
Definitely don't offer to be her therapist, like, because she might turn and be like, but you're here. But no, but honestly, just maybe encourage her, because it seems like she's got a lot to say. And I know for some people, just having that space where they can literally just go in and say what they need to say, like literally let it all
offload,
out. Like, I think they need that safe space, but that safe space is not you. Does that make sense? It doesn't have to be you. They also need to be able to have somebody that they can sort of offload to and then leave it there.
And this kind of harks back to a situation that you're aware of, where I've mentioned in the past that it's not okay for a friend to be a punching bag. And sometimes emotionally dumping can make you literally feel like you've been beat up, because everyone's just punching you, hitting you, upper deck, chinning you and kicking you, punching you with every single problem that they have. And if you visualize what those words, like, words are powerful. Words can be as hurtful as an actual punch. And someone continuously offloading those kind of heavy emotions on you and expecting you to just deal with it. If you think about it, it's like literally they've taken the cloud off their head and put it over yours. And you're just collecting clouds, and eventually the clouds are going to burst and, you know, rain's going to pour out from that. That's the visual representation of everyone just emotionally dumping on one person just because they feel like they can take it. And that's where you have those expressions like checking on your strong friends as well,
because they need it. So honestly, like, be encouraged. This has been your dream. You've always dreamed about becoming a therapist. There are bumps in the road in your career and times, like, you know, even us two as working professionals, that you do have a lot of self-doubt sometimes.
Imposter syndrome.
Sometimes you just need someone to remind you that we're all out here trying, and what you've said is not surprising. Like, I think a lot of people probably go through that whilst they're studying to be therapists. And definitely with your friend, have that conversation. You've had it before, so that's good, and they've apologized, so they're aware that, okay, I'm overstepping, but it's okay to come back and say, hey, you know, we spoke about this the other time, I'm still feeling.
Friendly reminder.
Just a friendly reminder. And don't know if I'm going too far, but it's okay to miss their call sometimes. You get busy. You know what I mean? Like, don't feel like you got to pick up. And it's okay if it's getting negative to be like, hey, can I call you back?
It's okay.
I need to do something. Can I call you back?
And also, friends should not police your social activities, as in, like, you've been studying, you've been working, you know, I don't know if you've completed your studies as a psychologist or if you're in an internship. Either way, even when you finish studying, right, your job, you still take some of your job home. Like, you know, recently I've been working on a project. My project has been overtime. And when you are the project owner, you don't switch off on at, you know, 9 to 5. You take some of that work home. And we've all been in there. We're in big girl jobs now. So the work does not end at 5. Yeah. So some evenings I'm working late. And then when I log off, I have to see after the baby. And then after I see after the baby, I have to spend a bit of time with my husband. Then I have to check in on family. Then I have to check in on friends. You have to remember that that person has that many other tasks to do. Even when you don't have kids, sometimes people work weekends, crazy hours, and then they want to go to the gym. Gym is part of your routine.
Yep.
That is okay. You're allowed to not pick up the phone, and that friend should not be policing whether you've answered the call or not, or whether you've responded to them or not. And just say, until you notice that it's an ongoing pattern, the friend's not doing it maliciously. They just need to do their routine, or they need space, or they need a minute. But if that friend has always been there for you, know that they'll be there for you again.
Yeah.
And if you really, really need them, say, text message SOS, I really need you right now. But not every day is an SOS.
Not every day SOS, please. Give people a break. Honestly, and I'll be really transparent, yeah. I have been the offloading friend. At some point in my life, I was going through it and I just couldn't see past what was going, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes you really don't realize, especially if the friend's encouraging you, yeah, just call me anytime and stuff like that. Like, sometimes you really don't realize what you're doing. And it does help when someone says, girl,
I need
getting
a minute.
Too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, and it makes you stop and think, actually, the whole world doesn't revolve around my particular problem. So don't be afraid to give that reminder. Like, don't be like, I've already spoken to them, it's fine. Like, just come in again and say, look, do what you need to do. Do not sacrifice your gym time. Do not sacrifice your study time. It can wait. You can call them back. Does that make sense?
Unless they are literally in a crisis, like a mental health crisis, they're having a breakdown, they're having a panic attack, as you've been having a panic attack. Actually, we never even thought of this angle. Has your friend been aware of the fact that you've been having panic attacks? Yeah. Has that been a conversation? Have you been centered in any way? Because we've all been in scenarios where you're there for your friend. You want to be there for your friend. And you're like, they're going through a lot right now. So let me hold back on what I'm going through. And you don't share just how hard of a time you're having.
Yeah. The friend might be thinking, oh, I'm really sorry. I need to stop moaning and think it's all fun and games. But maybe they need to realize that, yeah, oh wow, like, this is the impact of my negativity. It's causing panic attacks. And you know, if they're your friend, they'll feel like, wow, no, I need to protect you. Like, I don't want to be causing that. So, and I think it's important to tell people that, because what people do is people will not change their behavior if they think everything's cool.
Yeah.
If you're not telling people this behavior is bad, they'll continue and they'll think it's cool. And then when you finally speak up, they're like, yeah, but
you didn't say anything. Yeah. Yeah. So,
yeah, all the best with your studies.
Yes, definitely. And and don't give up. You know, we all have experienced imposter syndrome. And even though you have a very valid reason with the situation with your friend, I think it's amazing. We need more therapists. We're finally taking mental health more seriously. So keep persevering and just seek support in your profession with your peers and extended colleagues and people you associate with that understand that it might not be a therapist. It might be a doctor, it might be a police officer or a social worker that understands that taking the job home is hard. So how do you deal with
that? Definitely. And also setting boundaries with family and friends. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, even imagine you're a doctor, like,
oh, I've got this spot on my back, could you just check?
I'm really here, I'm just here to chill. Like, I'm just here to chill and enjoy everyone's company. I'm not doctor today. But then obviously if there's emergency, then the doctor's there. But yes, not to be being like, oh, I've got this, you know, I've got this thing on my palm, can you have a look? All the best.
Yeah.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of Unfriended. If you enjoyed this episode, please show us some love by liking, commenting, sharing, rating, reviewing this podcast on whatever platform you are listening from. And if you do have a dilemma that you'd like us to discuss on the podcast, please email your dilemma to theunfriended.pod@gmail.com. For more friendship breakup content or to stay connected, you can find me on social media at @love_MissDaisy or at theunfriended.pod on Instagram and TikTok. Thanks for staying until the end, sending lots of love your way, and I'll see you in the next episode.